Maybe it wouldn't be the absolute worst thing if we did it in private. We've rehearsed slings and burn dressings on each other, so why not kissing? Both of us want to be prepared for when it really matters. Except, I don't think he's thinking of it as a rehearsal. I move backward and break eye contact, staring resolutely over Tim's shoulder to where Joel and his mates are having a knockabout on the lawns, lit by the Victorian lamps that line the prom. The frost has set the earth like concrete, but the boys don't seem to notice. They're too busy trying to outrun Joel, even though they know they never will. He moves twice as fast as the others, the football always at his feet. He was in the same class as me until we were 16. While Tim and I stayed on at school, Joel hit the big time, starting a professional football apprenticeship with our city club, the Dolphins. He's one in a million. Everyone either wants to be him or be with him, me included. I think Tim might be the only person I know who doesn't care about Joel one way or the other.
Perhaps we can blame the pagans, you know, for deciding New Year should happen in December, Tim says, embarking on a new lecture. I let the words float toward me, without taking them in.
Or I suppose it might have been the Romans.
Maybe. I stay far enough away that he can't reach. Everything has to be clear for Tim. He's one of the smartest kids in the sixth form, but sometimes he's also the densest, and I can't let him convince himself it's a good idea to kiss me. Kiss me. I imagine saying those words to Joel. Let myself believe for a moment that instead of laughing in my face, he might do as I ask.
On the lawns, Ant makes a clumsy attempt to tackle Joel, but falls over his own big feet, and Joel vaults across his best friend's legs to score again. The ball flies over the two Gap sweatshirts laid as goalposts. 6-0 to Joel. I've been counting.
But why didn't they choose the summer solstice to mark a new year?
A speck of cider foam sits on Tim's top lip, and I'm about to lean over and brush it away. Except, what if he thinks I'm flirting? I want it to go back to how it's been since we were 7, in and out of his garden and ours. Every Tuesday, checking each other's vital signs in the Scout Hall. I hate the new us, how he guffaws at my jokes when they're not funny and gives me sideways looks as though he's only just noticed that I'm female.
Summer solstice would make for a better party. Sacrificing virgins, roasting pigs, or the other way around.
I get so twitchy now listening to his meandering monologues. I imagine walking away from him and heading onto the playing field, the icy blades of grass spiky through my tights. In this other reality, I would easily score a goal. Joel would embrace me in a victorious hug. Louise Norman's jaw, newly braced but sadly not wired shut, would drop, astonished at my grace. Maybe grace is too improbable. I'd settle for being surprising, for being noticed. At school, at home, here, anywhere would do. At the edge of my vision, Joel is running. And then he's not. He doesn't trip or throw out an arm to right himself or break his fall. Instead, he drops, face down, legs outstretched. The boy who fell to earth. The others play on. Fat Matt does a double take when he gets possession of the ball and propels it toward the neglected goal. I wait for Joel to get up. What's he playing at? He's not a joker the way Ant is, and I can't believe he's risked injury by falling so clumsily. In his last year at school, before he got his big break with the Dolphins, Joel was the only one of the popular kids never to smoke or drink. Even tonight he's stuck to orange juice. Ant pivots back, calling out,
"Come on, Joel, you knob!"
And when he reaches his friend, he nudges him with his big black shoe. Once, twice. The third time is more of a kick. Still, Joel doesn't move.